Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
There is an interesting verse in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, that starts out this way: unto the pure, all things are pure. It goes on to say, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now, notice how it starts: unto the pure, all things are pure. Now, you know, some people have used the first part of Titus chapter 1, verse 15, unto the pure all things are pure, to literally prove that whatever they want to do is okay with God because they are pure. They are purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they're saved. They know that they have been washed in the blood, that they have been or are being sanctified by the Spirit of God, that they are now justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they look at what they're doing, no matter what it is, and say, they say, well, this is pure because I'm pure, because I have been saved. They put Titus chapter 1, verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, with another verse like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, and they kind of come up with a formula. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Well, so they say, you see, everything's lawful for me, and I'm pure, therefore anything I want to do is okay with God. They basically then just go about doing whatever they want to do with no conscience of sin, no conscience of wrongdoing about it at all. It is interesting. I suppose some of the people that have told me that they didn't think that what they were doing was wrong when they were doing something wrong might have been sincere. I kind of doubt it. In many cases, I believe that they just lied to themselves or came to a place where they thought it was okay to do what they were doing. Their conscience didn't bother them. They didn't think about it being wrong anymore. They're saved. Their attitude about Titus 1:15, under the pure, all things are pure, produces a Christian who ends up looking like the evil men of Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, we find the same kind of people that show up in the book of Judges. Basically, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, Moses is saying in Deuteronomy 12, 8. Every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. And what I'll tell you, in Christianity, there are a lot of people who are doing that is right in their own eyes, but they feel justified in doing it because they're saved. They're purified. They've been washed in the blood. It has to be right. I'm God's child. Go back to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 really needs to be studied in its entire context, beginning with verse 10, so that we can really understand what Paul is saying here. Titus chapter 1, let's read from verse 10 to verse 16, see what Paul is talking about here. He says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, "The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So you see, the whole context is negative. The whole context is really addressing those that are defiled and unbelieving, whose conscience is defiled, who need to be rebuked sharply, whose mouths must be stopped, who are vain talkers and deceivers. That whole context is negative, and then Paul slips in this statement in the beginning of verse 15, "Unto the pure all things are pure." You see, Paul is dealing not with the pure. He's dealing with vain talkers and deceivers who are covetous, who are liars, who are defiled, who are unbelieving, who are abominable, who are disobedient, who are reprobate. And so consequently, he says to these people that we've just described, everything to them is impure. And that's true. If you've ever met anybody similar to what you're reading about in Titus chapter 1, verse 10 through 16, if you've spent any time living at all, certainly you've come across people like this. And if you know them well, you know their motives are impure. Their consciences are impure. Their consciences give them no gauge whatsoever about the things that they do. Their thoughts are impure. And that's why the things that come out of their mouth are so vile. They don't have thoughts like Christians have. Their thoughts are impure. Their words are impure. And so forth and so on. You know, to a person who is like this, who is impure, who is needing a sound rebuke, whose conscience is defiled, to a person like this, filth doesn't bother them. Matter of fact, they prefer filth. They want to hear dirty jokes. They like to watch R-rated movies and listen to cursing and to see sexually explicit films and to see violence. They get a charge out of that. They're willing to pay for it. They're entertained by it. Filth doesn't bother them. They like it. They want it. They subscribe to it. There you go. Pornography, dirty jokes, bad music, bad companions, all those kind of things, bad places to go. These are the things that bring them pleasure. And they have this pleasure in these impure things without regret. They take pleasure in impure things without a guilty conscience. So in the context of Titus chapter 1, when you read the first part of verse 15, you can't lift it out of its context. The entire context is Paul rebuking those that are defiled and telling Titus he needs to rebuke them. Now by contrast, in Titus chapter 1, verse 15, the pure, unlike the impure, the pure have pure consciences, and so they have pure motives, they have pure friends, they have pure desires, they have pure delights, they have pure ambitions, pure hearts, pure thoughts, pure minds, all that. People who are pure, I mean really pure, abhor the filth that attracts the defiled. And they desire the purity that is abominable to the defiled. Proverbs chapter 29, Proverbs chapter 29 puts it this way. Proverbs chapter 29 in verse 27, Proverbs says it this way, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. An unjust man is abomination to the just. That's right. A just man doesn't want anything to do with an unjust man. He that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. The wicked really doesn't want to be around a just man either. When a man's living right, wicked men don't want to be around him. You know that because when you got saved, if you ran with a rough crowd, and then you went back to that crowd and started telling them about Jesus Christ, pretty soon they quit inviting you to the parties. And when you invited them to come over, they didn't want to. They had excuses. Why? They're not comfortable around you. They don't like being on guard when they're around you. If you're living a life of purity, because they like to cuss, they like to tell dirty jokes and that kind of thing. And they're stiff around you. They can't relax. Because, as a matter of fact, if they let a word slip or they say something that's going to be off color, they'll say, now, go apologize to you ahead of time. This is a little bit off color here. And then they go right on with the story. And they know you're not going to laugh because you don't like it. You see, pure men and pure women have a desire for purity. I understand we're not sinless. Not going there. This isn't about sinlessness. Okay, this is about purity. And even though you're not sinless, when you have desires for pure things, then you desire purity. And you don't like the impurity. It's like when you've cleaned your kitchen and the counter is all, spick and span. The dishes are in the dishwasher. They're now washed. All the dishes in the drying tray have dried. You've put them away. The stove is clean. The oven is clean. The floor is clean. The counter is clean. The sink is clean. The trash has been hauled out. You don't want somebody coming in from outside and traipsing through with dirty hands and dirty feet, walking and leaving debris on the floor, pulling things out, spilling juice on the counter, leaving a dirty glass in the sink. You're like, man, I just cleaned this place up. You know, what'd you do? Grow up in a pigsty? Come on. You see, you got it clean. Or let's say you take your clothes and you wash them and your whites come out really white. And then you see some garment that you really enjoy and it's got a spot on it. That really bothers you because you've worked in an effort to try to clean it and now it's got this spot on there. That really bothers you and you want to clean it out of there. Why? Because it's been clean. I mean, if you've been out in the yard working and you've worked up a sweat and you've got grass stains and dirt stains on your sleeves or whatever, yeah, you don't really mind. You know, what's more, one more dirty thing? I mean, you're already dirty, right? That's the way it is. When people are impure, they don't mind another impure thing. They're already dirty. But when you've cleaned up, you've just had a shower, you're all cleaned up and all that, and you go back out there and you get some kind of a stain on you, you're like, oh, man, that's not what I wanted. So you see, pure men and pure women have a desire for purity, and defiled men and defiled women have an appetite for impure things. You see, impure people are motivated by the lust of the flesh, and they aim to satisfy that lust of the flesh without concern for their consciences. That's why the conscience is defiled. They just run over it so many times until the poor old conscience can't speak out against anything that they do. So the verse, Titus 1:15, the first part of the verse, unto the pure all things are pure, this verse cannot be used out of context to prove that once a man is saved, every filthy thing that he can imagine is sanctified and purified just because he's a saved man. There are Christians who take liberty with this verse, okay, but this verse doesn't grant them that liberty. It doesn't grant you that liberty. Peter told us that we are to dwell and do well as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. You're free, but as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, that is to do something evil, but as the servants of God. So don't look at under the pure, all things are pure, and think, well, I can do this. I'll tell you honestly, really, when people get married, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a marriage counselor and had been for 30 years, pastored, doing missionary work now. And he wrote a book on living purely in an impure society. Excellent book, okay? But, you know, he said one of the problems in marriages is that people come and they say the marriage bed is undefiled, so they bring defiled things from the world into their home in order to, you know, do what the world does in enjoying their marriage. And you know what they're doing? He said they're defiling their marriage. They can't look at a verse like Titus 1:15 and say, well, under the pure, all things are pure. And I know out there in the world, these defiling things defile them. But since we're married and the marriage bed is undefiled, we can bring these impurities into our house and everything's going to be fine. And that's not true. That's absolutely wrong. You can't bring it in by the television. You can't bring it in by the movies. You can't bring it in by magazines. You can't bring it in by filthy things and expect to have anything but impurity in your life if you do that, no matter how you desire to use those objects or those movies or those things. They will defile you. And he says, under the pure, all things are pure. Now listen, concerning purity, the Bible gives us excellent instructions on how we are to live our lives once we've been purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you some instruction from the Scripture now, because the Bible says, under the pure, all things are pure. And what he's talking about there is when your mind is pure, when your conscience is pure, when the words of God come into you and they're pure, they're going to purify you. Your motives are going to be pure. Your friends are going to be pure. Your desires are going to be pure. Your thoughts are going to be pure, and so forth. Okay? So. If you want to live your life now that you've been purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved, what do you do? Well, first of all, Romans chapter 14, verses 20 to 23. Romans chapter 14, verses 20 to 23. Paul says this: for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, here's the first thing. Even if the thing is pure for us, and Paul said, all things indeed are pure. Concerning eating, Paul said, hey, I can eat anything. And the Lord showed Peter that when he lowered that sheet of those unclean beasts down to him. And he said, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And Paul said, all these things are sanctified by the word of God and prayer. All right, well, even if a thing is pure for us, we must, according to this passage, consider our brothers in Christ, whether what we do might cause them to stumble. Oh boy, that's a tricky one right there. See, you may have the liberty, and you've prayed about it, and it's already a pure thing for you. And Paul says, you are going to control your liberty for those things that are indeed pure in your life by how a brother who knows that you're involved in those things might be affected. If he is offended, okay, by those things, if what you do may cause him to stumble, he says, then don't do it. Don't do it. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak. Said, don't do it. So, while you have the liberty, your liberty is constrained by the conscience of others who may look at what you do and say, hey, if he can do that, I can get away with this. Be very, very careful. Very careful there. All right, here's the second thing. Philippians 4:8. Speaking of purity, Philippians 4:8. The Bible says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what Paul is telling us? It's very simple. If you've been purified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are to think on pure things. That's right. Think on pure things. In other words, you and I are limited to the things about which we can think, as long as they are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. We can think on them. If they're not true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report, get them out of your mind. Now, you know what will happen when you start thinking on things that are pure? Those thoughts are going to purify you. They're going to clean up your mind. People have said to me, man, my mind is just giving me all kinds of trouble. I continue to think about wicked thoughts. Well, you know what? There are remedies for that. We're not preaching on that today, but one of the remedies is if it doesn't meet the criterion of Philippians 4:8, then don't think about it. That's right. We're to think on pure things, and listen, the purest things in the world on which to think are the words of God. That's right. There's nothing purer than the words of God as far as things that you and I can meditate on and things that you and I can think about. James chapter 3, verse 17 talks about wisdom. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Notice the first thing on the list concerning wisdom, and we know wisdom comes from the words of God, is that they are first and foremost pure. So you want to really get your mind going in a pure way, think on pure things. And the purest things to think about are the words of God. Memorize them and meditate on them. All right, here's the third thing. All right, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we read this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and a faith unfeigned. That's the end of the commandment. Charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. 2 Peter chapter 3, companion verse, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So, the end of the commandment is a pure heart. And Peter is writing to those who have pure minds. I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Then you know what we're learning from those two passages? If when you get saved and you start growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart is pure, your mind is pure, then we keep our hearts and our minds and our consciences pure. That's what we're to do. We are to keep our hearts, our minds, and our consciences pure. I remember one time talking to a good friend of mine who's a missionary today, and he and his wife were invited to something that seemed to be well-suited for Christians. And he went, and there were some things that were said that were inappropriate for Christians. And he said to me, he said, I have got to get these defiling influences out of my mind. That I thought was very interesting. You know what he said? He said, listen, when I went in there, I wasn't thinking about those things. My mind was pure as it concerns those things. And these defiling influences came in. I got to get all that out of me. Those things are defiling me. Wow, that is something. Imagine living in a way. And I'm not holding him up as a standard. I'm talking to you about something he said. Every day you and I are exposed to impurities that would defile our hearts or our minds or our consciences. And what we have to do is we have to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, the Bible says. We got to keep a trap out there. Keep those things from getting in. If anything does get in, we've got to get immediately to the words of God, immediately to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God, to get those things cleaned up. And then the final thing, we are to follow our greatest example for purity, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, our greatest reason for purity is that we are the sons of God. And we're going to be like Jesus Christ when he comes. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, say this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Wow. You see that? We're sons of God. He's pure. Then we know he's coming, and we're going to be like him. So you know what we do? We purify ourselves just like he's pure. That's what the Bible says. That's what we're to do. Now, if you follow these four admonitions, these four instructions from the Scripture regarding purity in your life, well, you're gonna be way ahead. You're gonna find truly that purity coming in. Think on pure things, keep your hearts, minds, and consciences pure, and purify yourself, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. You'll be just like him. So when somebody talks to you about Titus 1:15 and he says to you, "Under the pure all things are pure," you just remind him that that is not liberty for us to go off and be involved in defiling things at all. It is that once you are pure, those other things that are in you, like your mind, like your heart, like your ambition, like your desires, they purify and you're pure. And all these defiling influences, those are the ones that impure people love and will take you out of your purity. So be very, very careful with those matters. Be very, very careful with this verse of Scripture as well. And I pray as you study it out and learn to live these things in your life that God will bless you abundantly. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.